Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Merchants first embrace e-commerce as the way of the future, a separate sales channel to help grow their business. Today, in a new digital era defined by convenience, ease, and individualized choices, merchants are quickly realizing that e-commerce also has a significant role to play in store and on mobile. Consumers want choice in where they buy, whether that's online, in-store, in-app on mobile, or mobile while in store. They also want choice in how they pay, whether that's through installment payments, crypto, or contactless payments. We're seeing that the digital and omni-channel reformation is not a phase. To further discuss this, we're joined by Nitin Prabhu, Vice President of Merchant Experiences and Payment Solutions at PayPal, and Dan Keyes, Senior Research Analyst of Merchant Services at Javelin Strategy and Research. Nitin and Dan, it's so great to have you with us today. To start, what does a perfect e-commerce payment journey look like? What is it intended to offer consumers?
Hey, first of all, thank you for having us. Very excited to speak to all of you. It's hopefully not too late in the year to say Happy New Year to everybody. So have a great 2023. So a perfect commerce experience or a perfect commerce journey starts with making sure that the customer is able to discover the right products and is able to purchase them the way they want, with the options that they want, and with the payment product that they would like to pay with, and from wherever they are. Today, especially after the pandemic, the customer behavior has changed a lot. Today, when we go to malls, we see, even for the same brands, we don't get the right deals and offers that are available online. I think the way I look at e-commerce is, earlier, e-commerce was a secondary channel for large retailers. Now it's their most important channel. And it's not something that the retailers have a lot of history in how they can, what you called, create a best experience. And there are a lot of basic things that they could do, just from like, how do they reduce friction at login, during checkout, as well as creating the right payment options, shipping options, tracking, and logistics. So I would love to talk to you more about this, but Daniel, would love to get your thoughts.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think everything you said is absolutely important to, you know, the perfect payment journey. I think another thing is really that, you know, consumers shouldn't notice. They should almost not be thinking about the fact that they're paying. You know, you and I, you know, when we pay for things, I think we think about it all the time because it's, you know, this is what we do. But for the average consumer, they don't really want to be thinking about payments. It should be kind of an afterthought. They should, you know, it should be as simple as handing a credit card to a cashier at a store and getting it back and leaving. It should be very, you know, very, very minimal friction, very minimal thought. There shouldn't be a lot on their minds when they're paying. So I think things that any process that can remove friction and is very consistent and familiar is really perfect, because that way the customer is just getting what they want and not worrying about it anymore.
You know, we've seen, you know, as you had mentioned, especially in the past couple of years during the pandemic, we've seen this real transformation that has happened in the e-commerce space. How are merchants responding to this e-commerce transformation?
That's a great question, right? Now, traditionally, merchants have gone to a huge set of vendors, with every vendor providing a single service, like somebody provides catalog management, somebody provides payments, somebody provides inventory management, fraud, at-risk services. The challenge that comes with that is stitching together all those experiences, and sometimes in a given payment flow, the merchant may be working with 12 to 13 vendors. It becomes really complex, and it sometimes make it clunky. There are a lot of redirects between different sites. Sometimes things drop off, the customer has to retry. So more and more merchants are looking at partners who can bring a end-to-end solution, a vertically integrated solution, so that the experience works seamlessly. And that's where PayPal is also going. Payment processing and optimization is of the auth rates is important, but we are now going beyond that to offer our merchants and consumers an end-to-end experience. And I'll talk about a few examples. We had acquired this company called Happy Returns, and they've done a fantastic job at creating a return process for merchants, especially in the small and mid-market segment, who may not have the logistics or footprint across the US. And returns is something that's really important, because most customers, it is shown that if they're able to return, their propensity to go and try that product or service is much higher. Also, when we look at where the economy is heading, there is some inflation is high and people are feeling the pinch on their wallets. So we also worked closely with our financial team to create products like Buy Now, Pay Later, and bring other interesting products like Pay with Rewards to unlock their shopping power. PayPal today has over 429 million consumers and merchants, and our brand also brings that to the merchant and it builds trust. Daniel, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think having a variety of services is increasingly important. You know, as merchants, you know, turn to a provider who can be more of a one-stop shop, merchants not only want that one-stop shop for their payments needs, but they're actually asking for those providers to offer more areas. So Happy Returns is a good example of that. But, you know, it can be fulfillment, it can be, you know, business analytics. Because once a merchant is finding itself in a singular ecosystem, they want that ecosystem to handle everything for them. And for SMB, they maybe didn't have access to that many services beforehand. Now the sky is the limit for them to have a million different services all under one roof and be able to really build their businesses that way. And I think merchants are going to continue to expect more and more services that hit more and more needs in the years to come. You know, with a specific segment, you know, a restaurant might really expect their processor to also have, you know, a shift management software and the ability to, you know, handle tips, but also delivery. There's so many different things a merchant might need. And I think now that they're turning to one provider a lot of the time, they want even more from those providers. And providers are doing their best to meet that challenge to, you know, maximize their relationships and maximize their revenue in the process.
I think it's great that you both used the example of like Happy Returns. As a consumer, I've used Happy Returns quite a bit, and I found myself gravitating towards retailers that were actually offering that because it was just an easier way for me to, if the need occurred, to return an item. It was a very seamless experience. And I know that trust was another thing that was mentioned. You know, there's this data point that 36% of consumers say trust as the top determinant in their choice of online merchants. The trust is also one of the most challenging things to attain. You know, how can merchants work to earn this trust in order to forge closer connections with their customers?
I want to start answering this by sharing a personal story, right? And this was even before I joined PayPal. We were supposed to go to a big family event, and my wife was very keen to buy a dress from a small designer who we have never heard about, and in from a very remote location that we are not aware about. And I was very skeptical, and my wife's answer was, they accept PayPal, so this should be good, right? And that actually triggered something, that people start trusting merchants when they see their favorite payment options or shipping options and the likes. We actually ran some data, and we saw that about 44% of the consumers are more likely to trust the merchants if they see their preferred shopping option. So payment options. So one of the things that we would recommend merchants is create a broad set of payment options so that consumers can pay the way they like. The other example that we even see with our PayPal consumers is about 54% of the PayPal consumers, they purchase it, the merchants, because PayPal is present. And 59% of the PayPal consumers have actually told us that during checkout, if they don't see PayPal as a payment option, they decided not to purchase. Money is definitely important, and people are very worried about, hey, if the purchase goes wrong, will my financial institution or my payment provider have my back? How easy is to get refund? How easy is to fight chargeback or disputes? So I think preference of payment options definitely drives trust with the merchants.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, having consistency and familiarity at checkout is really important. Not only because, you know, you trust PayPal, you trust you can get your money back if something went wrong or something like that, but also it's just familiar. You know what you're doing. You're paying the same way every time. Again, similar to, you know, when you go to a store, no matter almost any store you go to, the transaction ends with you handing your credit card to someone at a register and paying. And online, you can have a million different payment experiences because of different providers. But knowing that you're going to get a familiar experience can really make everything feel a lot more comfortable and safer. And so you mentioned having a lot of different payment options. That's very true. But it's also about offering the payment options that your merchants, you know, prefer the most, whatever those may be, can really go a long way to building a very, you know, trustworthy relationship.
With digital transformation on the rise, there is increased consumer friction, you know, during the checkout process. How does this play into the e-commerce experience?
Today, consumers are shopping from a variety of devices and a variety of places, right? So it's not only people sitting at their home or office and buying on their laptop or computers. People are purchasing in their shops when they're going out for lunch, or they're trekking somewhere, or at a movie hall, they see something interesting and they buy. So getting the experience right and reducing friction is very important. What we, in a survey that we saw, it showed that 1 in 4 customers drop off from a purchasing funnel if the process is too complex or there are too many steps. That translates approximately to $236 billion of lost sales. And I think our advice to merchants is, all of you are also consumers. So look at the sites where you enjoy shopping, see what they're doing right, and it's great to emulate them. And we'll talk about a few basics, right? The first is reduce the number of forms the customer has to fill out, right? Especially typing on a mobile phone, 100 or 200 characters, it's not very easy. What we call provide one-click payment options. Store the customer's information, of course, with their consent, so that the next time they come, you can autofill it. We also see a lot of customers have started forcing the consumers to create an account. our suggestion is, yes, it's okay to offer that, but don't make it impossible for the customer to do a guest checkout if they would like to do. Because if the customer likes the experience, they will come back. And probably the next second time or third time, they will create an account. Redirects, as I said, a lot of times merchants work with multiple vendors, and that leads to redirecting between a lot of different URLs. And that actually delays. And sometimes when customers are in transit or traveling or in areas where signals are not strong, it leads to a drop in their checkout flow. And it's very frustrating to start again. Having a good mix of payment methods, and I think as Dan pointed out earlier, having the right mix, knowing your audience and what payment methods they like is extremely important. For example, Venmo resonates a lot with the Gen Z demographics. So if your audience is typically like Gen Z, having pay with Venmo as a payment option makes a lot of sense. Auth rate is important, and this is something that merchants don't really think about, because auth rates can make a significant impact to your sale, right? The customer has already committed, he has gone through the flow, he or she has pressed the pay button, and then when the transaction fails, it leads to frustration, right? So focusing on basics on how to improve auth rate and working with partners like PayPal, who invest a lot of their energy in building things like machine learning models, account updaters, network tokens that can create that advantage. And we talked about returns, right? I actually always stress on that. Customers like to buy and try more products as long as they know that they can easily return it. And in case the merchant is not, there is a dispute with the merchant, they can easily raise a chargeback, right? So having variety of payment options as well as a seamless return process is extremely important.
Yeah, removing friction from payment in particular in e-commerce is so important. Because if you look at the customer experience in terms of the labor they're doing, when they're shopping, you know, there's labor in finding the product they want, picking it out, making a decision. But that's labor that customers usually willing to accept because they're trying to figure out what they want. They're willing to put in that work. But once they've selected their item or whatever they may be purchasing, they want to be done. They're not interested in putting in additional work to get to their payment process. They've already made the commitment to spend the money. They don't want to have to do additional work and sign up for more things than they want to. Write more information than they want to, especially if they're coming from on a mobile device where inputting information can be really cumbersome. So making that process smooth, whether it's with one-click checkout or something similar, is really important. Otherwise, you're going to lose a lot of consumers very quickly who know what they want, will find it somewhere else then because they're done putting in labor by the time they reach the payment process.
We've covered a lot so far. We've covered how e-commerce has changed, the digital transformation that has occurred, things that have really made an impact for both consumers, for merchants, for retailers. To conclude, I'd love to hear what you're most excited about in the e-commerce space, especially as we're entering into a new year.
I think COVID was a forcing function that changed a lot of behaviors for good. I know the e-commerce industry saw huge growth. It has come down a bit from that, but I'm still very bullish, right? And I see a few trends. I just recently became a parent for the second time, and e-commerce is a God-saving gift, because earlier we were not comfortable on buying things like grocery or fresh produce, and COVID actually changed that behavior, right? And it saves a lot of time. And when you have two kids at home, ordering something online and gets delivered and the quality is maintained. So that's amazing. So I'm very excited that a lot of new verticals where people were traditionally not very convenient in buying, like clothes, grocery, even fashion, like shoes and all, that has changed. The other big thing I've seen a difference is the demographics over 50 or 60 who are not very tech savvy. They were used to more in-store shopping. I think we have seen them adopting e-commerce. And that has gotten me excited, because we are seeing a lot many more industries and new verticals that have come up who are now servicing these. Like, there were a lot of brands that service this demographic did not have online shopping channels, because traditionally these customers came in store, and that has changed. I also believe this is just the beginning. E-commerce is still a much smaller percentage of the overall retail spend. And the way I think about it is online and in-store experiences are coming together. Now, customers don't think about online or in-store separately. They don't think about words like omnichannel. What they're saying is, okay, I saw something, let me try this product online, let me purchase it. I don't want to wait for 2 days for shipping, so maybe I go to the nearest store and quickly pick it up. I try it, I don't like it, I can return it at my home where somebody can come and pick it up. So is this online and in-store journey coming together and these channels merging is what is most exciting to me. And I think that will start creating a lot of new, experiences. Daniel?
I think those are some things that are definitely worth being excited about. I think one for me is, the potential rise of alternative payments in e-commerce. This can happen anywhere, but in particular in e-commerce, credit and debit have and will dominate, payments in general. But the opportunity for other options, whether it's a buy now, pay later solution or, other types of digital wallets, such as Venmo or Cash App. And then, the potential for more account to account payments, which have, gained great popularity in India and parts of Europe. They're not going to take the U.S. by storm in 2023, but I think they're, starting to creep in. Gen Z certainly has an interest in non-credit payment options, and there's debit, but they might be open to, they may be open to other options. There's also crypto to some degree. I think that, it's going to be interesting to see e-commerce navigate offering all of the payment types that consumers might want to have as that expands, while also not creating too much of a crowded checkout experience where, there are 20 different buy buttons or different types of payments available, and consumers then get confused and overwhelmed. So I think that the process of incorporating additional payment types and integrating them effectively is something I'm very excited to see going forward.
Then I couldn't agree with you more. Actually, just yesterday, a startup was pitching us about how they wanted to bring up what they call low-cost payment methods, what they have seen in markets like India, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia emerge to markets like US. And we had a good conversation about what FedNow is trying to do with real-time payments. So I think, those are exciting things. I think along with the low-cost payment methods, the things that we also have to think about is what's your chargeback and dispute mechanism. Do the consumers and the merchants still get the buyer protection or seller protection that some of the traditional payment methods offer, right? And those are things that will evolve in the next couple of quarters.
Absolutely. It should be a very exciting year for e-commerce and payments.
So much great data and insights have been shared, and lots of great things to look forward to in 2023. Nitin and Dan, thank you so much for your insights and perspective. We hope to have you back on soon.